Representative Fischer, thanks for talking to me again, as
Absolutely.
Always. Yeah, let's start with House Bill 2, because this has been such a big week with House Bill 2, the NCAA, the
yes.
ACC leaving. The latest is that McCrory's office says that if Charlotte repeals their ordinance, he will call the legislature back for, I believe, a full repeal of House Bill 2. What do you think of that proposal?
I am a little bit suspicious of that proposal. I think that repealing Charlotte's ordinance just takes us back to square one. Why would they want to repeal their ordinance and rely on this legislature to come through with their side of the deal?
So you think they may not?
I think they may not. I don't know how serious the conversation has been around that particular deal, but it's very similar to the one that happened in May that fell apart and did not happen.
Yeah, so. I think it was a 7-4 vote by the
yes.
Charlotte City Council.
Yes.
So I don't know.
I'm not sure
not
if anything has changed.
Yeah. What do you think about House Bill 2 in general? You know, we've had more time to see its impact.
Mm-hmm.
Has your view on it changed at all?
Not at all. It needs to be fully repealed. And, I mean, this the dropping out of the NCAA, the ACC, these are the universities in our state that are also dependent upon the revenue that comes from those games, as well as the locations where those games are played. This is an economic driver, and it just adds to the hundreds of millions of dollars potentially lost to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the last day of session and the Asheville Districts Bill. We talked about that before, but not since the bill
the day.
Kind of fell apart.
That's right.
You are one of the people who obviously you got up and spoke
yes.
very passionately about it. Was this like, you know, it seemed to me kind of choreographed, like you guys were ready. You know, you had offered these three amendments, and when all those failed, you stood up and for about 5 minutes you spoke really passionately about this bill. Did you think it was going to fail? I mean, did you think it? What was going through your head?
Well, we knew what we had experienced throughout the week prior to its reaching the House floor. We each had our amendments that we ran in committee, and we watched them all fail in committee. And what we had decided as a delegation is that we would run those amendments again, because you can run them on the floor. Even if they fail in committee, you can bring them to the floor. So we decided we would go through with that and just take our chances. It had gone so easily through committees that we figured we may not really have a chance. But the thing that I think turned it was the pointing out of the dishonesty around the filing of the bill in the first place. Whether it was a mistake on Senator Apodaca's part to have filed the letter that said we were all on board, or something that was, you know, just patently false, we brought that out as a weakness in the way policy has been formed during the whole session, had been formed during the whole session. And that just kind of touched a nerve with the Republican side of the aisle. And suddenly, once we had all spoken and I had closed it out, we saw the other side standing up and protesting against the kind of bullying that they had experienced coming from the Senate beyond the districting bill.
Yeah, you know, you had Representative Josh Dobson.
Yes.
Michael Speciale.
Yes.
It seemed that the point that resonated most with them was the idea of the state government coming in and telling the local governments what to do.
That's correct.
But these bills have passed before, you know, in Greensboro and Wake, so this was different.
And they've watched them all go to court on those bills as well.
Yeah.
And I think that I think that, you know, it was the last day of session. Everything had finally just boiled to a head, and it was time for them to stand up and say, we're not going to be bullied anymore.
Do you think the retirement of Senator Apodaca had something to do with that, that they had felt like they could do it?
Yes, I did. I think that that empowered them as much as anything, but also the fact that we watched them be pulled out from the chamber after the vote to convince them that if they did not vote to change that, to pass the bill, that he would hold up the regulatory reform bill. There were lots of threats being handed out, and I think they just had decided they'd had enough. They weren't going to listen to him anymore. He was on his way out, and they just sent him on his way.
You know, in talking to Representative Ager, it sounded to me like he was sort of open to the idea of districts and that may be something that the legislature is open to, but it sounded like it was more about the process.
Yes, totally about the process and the idea that ideas like districting should come from the locals. It should not be something that is dictated from the state down.
Do you think that districts are in Asheville's future in the near future? Do you think that there's any appetite for that?
I think that it could be. I would not be surprised if at some point the population kind of dictates it. But again, I would much rather see it come from a community conversation around the issue rather than a single legislator who most of whose district doesn't even lie in Buncombe County telling us what we should do.
What do you think is going to happen in this coming session? You know, you're running unopposed, so you will be elected.
Yes.
And obviously you have to have a few more Democratic seats
Absolutely.
To work with. And you'll have a more senior role also. So what do you guys hope to accomplish?
Well, as you know, there will be a lot of things that we want to undo that have been done over the last 6 years. However, we have to make sure that we get the numbers that we need to at least sustain any vetoes that the next governor has. We are hopeful that Roy Cooper will win the governor's mansion and that we will, in the House, fortify our numbers such that we can sustain any vetoes that he brings down. I'm hopeful about it, but I really am just anxious for the election to happen so that we can see how those numbers all fall out. I know that we have done an excellent job of recruiting candidates across the state. They are running hard, and they are counting on all of us, people who don't have opposition like myself, to help them make that final push over the finish line. We have such potential this election, and that's why I said to the crowd gathered here at the Clarks today at Cheryl's Inn, that it looked to me like from the looks of this crowd that they were not going to let this election pass them by.
I'm curious, and this is a little bit insider, but you know, when you fundraise and stuff and you're running unopposed, is it the money that comes in, is that money that's then spent to help someone like John Ager?
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
And in fact, as a deputy leader of the House Democratic Caucus, I am charged to the degree that I can raise money and then funnel that to candidates who are looking like they will be successful in their candidacy.
I see. You're trying to just push
just
people
to fortify
out.
You know, and make sure that they're the last thing people see in their mailboxes or hear on the radio or see on television.
Right. And how do you think those races are going? You know, Brian Turner's running unopposed, very surprisingly, and then John Ager's in this tight race with Dr. Frank Moret.
Yes.
How do you think that race is going to go? You know, he won his last election by 493 votes, so really close.
Right. Well, elections are always won by the vote coming from someone that you do not even know. And that's why we cannot take anything for granted. And so John Ager will be working from now till the very, very end, you know, making sure that people know who he is and that he is in their mailboxes and that he is in front of them on television or whatever it takes for people to know that he is their choice this year. And that's what all of our candidates are doing across the state.
We all just heard Roy Cooper speak. What did you think of what he had to say?
I'm encouraged. I'm very, very hopeful. This is the most hopeful I have been about an election year in half a decade. And it is one that we do not want to sit out, that's for sure.
With the Asheville Districts Bill, so many Republicans crossed the aisle and voted with you to defeat that bill. Is that the product of already good relationships that you have with members across the aisle? Or is it something that strengthens it? Does that bode well for the coming session?
I think it never hurts to have those relationships. However, I think that this struck a chord with them that has more to do with local governance and the state not interfering with what local municipalities and counties are doing. But, you know, you raise a really good point, and I think that this election could, a really good byproduct of this election could be that we come back into some balance in the legislature so that there is more work across the aisle and that we do, as a House Democratic caucus, become relevant again to the decision-making process. Maybe the doors will begin to open to budget committee meetings and to other meetings of other committees. And that's what I'm hopeful of with this election.
Well, is there any last message that you would send out to voters or would-be voters?
Absolutely. I would say you can vote in October, you can vote in November, but whatever you do, just vote.
All right. Well, Representative Fisher, thank you.
Thank you.